You know how kids are. You know how children are. A boy was at the local store, and a guy working in produce. I don't think it was you, Grant, but there was a guy working in produce. He saw this little boy in this cart, and this lady pushing this cart, and he just went over there and he grabbed a banana off of it, and he handed it to this little boy. And the mom said to the little boy, "Well, don't you have anything to say to the man?" He thought for a minute, and he handed the man back the banana. He said, "Yeah, I'll peel it." You know, that's kind of the way we are sometimes. You know, we get something and then it goes through our hands, and without a chance to really be thankful for it, you know, we forget what to say. That kind of reminds me of another boy went to a party at this house, and they were just children and little fellows, and this one little girl went out and told the host lady, "Oh, ma'am, thank you so much. Thank you so much for hosting this wonderful occasion, this party." And another little boy came by, and he didn't say anything. Got back home, and his mom said, "Did you tell the host lady that you were thankful and you were so appreciative of being there?" He said, "Well, Mom, the story goes like this. There was a little girl in front of me, and she said thank you and was so grateful and so kind and so wonderful. And the host lady said, 'Oh, don't mention it.'" And he said, "So I didn't." Be ye thankful. What a wonderful theme this is today. And this is one of my, and I know it, no Sunday's any more important than any other one, but this is one of my favorite times of the year because I get to do this annual lesson. And when you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there are some imperatives in these verses. He begins in verse 16 by saying that we need to rejoice evermore. I mean, everybody in this room has reason to rejoice. In verse 17, he says, "Pray without ceasing." I don't know anybody in the room that doesn't need prayer offered up on their behalf. And then verse 18 is our key verse for this particular lesson. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, if we continue to read, there would be some more imperatives like "don't quench the spirit," so forth and so on. But let's just focus in this morning on 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 18. And so what I want to do is just break down the verse and talk about three or four different things by letting each word develop some points. Give. In everything, give, he says. Well, what do we need to give today? Well, number one, we need to give our time. Nobody is more important than anybody else in this room. Sometimes we think, "Well, have you seen my schedule? Have you looked at what's on my docket? And have you seen how busy I am? And you know how important I am? And you know how many people are waiting to see me? And you know how many phone calls I have to take?" And we all have the same amount of time. Here in Ephesians 5:15-17, he says, "Walk circumspectly." Now, we don't use that word in 2019, but here's what the word means. Walk carefully. Redeeming the time, because the day in which you live in is an evil day. Understand, verse 17, what the will of the Lord is. You know, we need to be thankful that God has given us time and using that time to disseminate in many aspects of our life, to use our time in doing good for other people. And so time is a multifaceted thing that we need to be thankful for. Number two, we need to be thankful for and use the talents that God has given to us. There are seven specific ones that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. And I suggest to you this morning, because we're not going to look at all those individually, that you are in Romans 12, 3-8. That you have some gifts, that you have some abilities, that you have some talents. I'm telling you, the last couple of weeks, we have seen some behind-the-scenes talents. We have been feeding some bereaved families here. We're going to do it again Tuesday. We need your help. We've been feeding some families that have just put their loved one in the ground. And we come back here in our multipurpose room and we say, "Hey, listen, today, don't you lift a finger thinking about getting some food together and all that goes with it. We're going to feed your family and we're going to feed your friends." And so yours truly at the cemetery, here's what I say. The last things I say. Those of you that are here today, we want you to come back. We have a meal prepared especially for you and for your family, and we want you to come. What a way that so many wonderful women in this church are using that gift to help other people. But there are seven different gifts there. There's the gift of mercy. There's the gift of giving. There's the gift of teaching. There's the gift of, and on it goes. Here's the point. Be thankful that God has endowed you with these gifts, and go out there and use your gifts. The third thing I want to mention to you about give is give your treasure. You know, Denver has just done a marvelous job in explaining not just the Lord's Supper, but the segue between the Lord's Supper and the offering. And there is a segue there. There's a time where we have to understand, well, we're through with the supper, but now it's time for us to pony up. Now it's time for us to understand, God, you have been so good to us. You have given us so many things. You have blessed us and endowed us with so much. That is our turn now to say, hey, we're going to respond in kind. And we're going to make sure that we're generous when we do it. And we're going to make sure we have cheerfulness when we do it. And we're going to make sure we understand that it funds our work. The work that we do 366 days if you count leap day year, okay? And so Jesus said this, don't lay up those treasures on earth where moth and rust come in and thieves break in and steal. But lay your treasures up in heaven where those things cannot infiltrate. Watch this. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So I want to suggest to us with the word give out of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 that we need to give these three T's. We need to give our time, our talent, and our treasures. Number two, we need to give thanks. We're not going to go completely into this account, but I want you to have it in your memory bank. It's Luke 17, 11 through 19. Jesus passed through a certain area, and when he did, he saw that there were 10, count them, 10 lepers. All right? 10. I'm holding up five fingers here on each side. 10. And as you go down through there, and you look at that account, Jesus is going to heal all 10 lepers. I mean, think about leprosy and think about what that was like to have it. You were a social outcast. You had to yell unclean, unclean when you went near people. And here Jesus is going to take his power and he's going to say, you're clean, you're whole, you're pure, you're back in society, you're back among the people. You don't look hideous anymore. You don't have this heinous skin problem any longer. Do you not think that those 10 lepers would say, praise God, thank you, Jesus, look what you've done. Look what you've done for me. And only 10%, only one of the 10 looked back and gave thanks. I had a mentor who was very prominent and prevalent in my life, and he introduced me to a word that I had never heard before about 35 or 40 years ago, and I use it a lot now. You got your seatbelt on? Here's a word. Ingrate. You don't want to be an ingrate. You don't want to stop and say, God, thank you. You don't want to stop and say, God, thank you for the food that I'm going to eat today. Thank you for the food I've already eaten today. Thank you for the air you're letting me breathe today. Thank you for allowing me to walk and have the health to be here today. God, thank you. I don't want to be an ingrate, and so I'm going to stop and I'm going to give thanks. And when you pray, do you have prayers of gratitude? Prayers of thankfulness? In everything, give thanks in all circumstances. When Paul was in prison, you would think he would be down in the mouth. You would think that he would be cynical. You would think that he'd be negative. You would think that he couldn't find a ray of sunshine anywhere. But did you know in Acts 16 and verse 25 it says, and Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God in their environment in prison. Watch this. Did you know you can always find someone that is a whole lot worse off than you are? Amen, church? Amen. See, we have to understand that. We have to realize that. That when we look into the mirror and we say, man, things are bleak in my life. Things aren't going well in my life. You can always find somebody somewhere who's worse off than you are. It kind of reminds you of the person who said, I am sick and tired of not having the money to put shoes on my feet. And then you go out and you find somebody who don't have any feet. Hello? You see, you can always find somebody worse off than you are. Be careful about grumbling and complaining and murmuring and disputing when things are as well with us as they are. We live in the land of plenty today. We are so blessed. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Will you turn there in your Bibles with me? Let's look at a couple of verses here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. Watch this. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing. Thankful people sing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now watch 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Watch this. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We all have reason to be thankful. And when you look at the book of Colossians, thanksgiving is in every chapter of the book. Every chapter there's something about thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. 14 and Jenny Lynn and I, you know, this time of year means we get to see our grandson a little bit more. All right. So I went yesterday and picked up Caden from Tampa. Of course, when he goes outside, what's the first words he says? It's cold here. Well, I guess so when you're used to 88 degrees. All right. Don't rub it in. So we get to our house. Tina's not there and Jenny Lynn's not there. So I get to watch the boy. So what's the first thing he does? Pa, did I tell you that I am a clarinet player and I'm in band now and I'm making good grades at it? And what's the first thing he does? He gets his horn out and blows it. Here I am on the couch. I got in late the night before and I got up super early to go pick him up. And I thought, man, I'm going to lay down here on the couch and watch this ball game. You know, I'm hearing this clarinet for 45 minutes, all right? I didn't want to hear it for 45 minutes, but it was wonderful. Yeah, it was great. Because, you know, be thankful, all right? Be thankful. What's the first thing that happened when Tina gets home? Did I tell you I got this clarinet? I had to hear that play for another 40 minutes, you know? Thankfully, Jenny Lynn didn't come home, so I didn't have to hear it again. I'm thankful for the person behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning because it means I'm alive. There is always something for which to be thankful, even in difficult situations. It's going to be hard for me to say this next one. I'm thankful for the taxes I have to pay. Oh, because I have a job. Whoa. It's how you look at it, isn't it? This will certainly be me after this weekend. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, which means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a place to live in. Doug can tell you firsthand about a lot of people who don't. And so this morning, James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. You know what I love? One of the many things I love about God is this. God is a constant in my life. Which means someday God didn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm just going to be grumpy today. I'm not going to give them as much air to breathe. No, God doesn't do that. Comes down from the Father of lights. All right, I want you to get ready for this, because this is the last thing that's going to appear on the screen, and we're going to sing our song just about 2 minutes right after this. So I want you to see where you are on this, and I want to see where I am. Wait for it. Bingo. Where are you in those two categories? I mean, really. I am humbly grateful. No, I'm just grumbly hateful. I'm just grumbly hateful. I'm grumbly. I'm just grumble. And I'm hateful in the process. Which one? Where am I? I'm thankful that God made me in His image. I'm thankful that Jesus died for me. I'm thankful that I can plug into a local church that is imperfect. Believe me, it is imperfect, but it's better than most, because I travel, okay? This morning, as we get ready to sing our hymn of inspiration and encouragement, Brian, what's the name of this? What a great song for us to sing together. If you are burdened, and it is so heavy, you just had to barely scoot your feet to get in here today. Understand that those burdens were lifted at Calvary. If you've yet to name the name of Jesus, reach the blood of Christ, become a New Testament Christian, become a member of the church, the same process, that opportunity is available this morning. If you have done it, but you've kind of become a little grumbly, ask God to forgive you of that. This morning, while we stand together and sing.